I'm just going to read a few verses again in Mark's Gospel and in chapter 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 45 down to verse 52. It says, "And straightway the Lord Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them, into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. For their heart was happening." Now that's all we'll read tonight, and we'll look to God again just to bless the reading of his words. These disciples were on a journey. And I suppose as we ponder that little statement tonight, there would really be a correspondence between them and us, because every one of us tonight we're on a journey. As far as the disciples were concerned, they were in a journey from one side of the Sea of Galilee across to the other side. And you and I are on a journey, the journey of life. A journey that started the very moment that we were born. And a journey that will end the moment that we die. But just as every journey has a beginning, every journey has a destination. And that was what these disciples were concentrating on as they journeyed across the Sea of Galilee. They were concentrating on the destination. They were concentrating on the end of the journey. There was somewhere they wanted to be at the end of the little trip. And you know, it's true, isn't it, that there's somewhere where every one of us wants to be at the end of our little journey. Because every one of us are aware tonight that we're only here for a wee while. The Bible speaks about 70 years, which is 70 years. And that's the allotted span, the allotted lifespan of mankind. There are some and they get a wee bit more than 70 years, and some of us don't even reach 70 years. But we're all in a journey. Just here for a little time. And there's coming a moment when we'll leave this scene of time and we'll move out into eternity. And I would think that every one of us has got a destination in mind for eternity. I would imagine that every single person in this hall tonight wants to be in heaven. I've never really met anyone that wanted to be in hell. I've never met anyone that really wanted to experience the eternal burnings of the lake of fire. No, everyone that I speak to wants to be in heaven at the end of life's journey. These people knew that at the end of the journey that the Lord would be there for them. And I'm thankful tonight that when we get to heaven, those who get to heaven are going to discover the Lord is there. The one that died on the cross to provide salvation for guilty sinners. The one that rose triumphant over death and ascended back to glory. Yes, he's going to be standing on the shores of heaven to welcome in all those who are his own. You see, my friend, it's not everyone that's going to heaven. It's only those that are trusting in the Saviour. It's only those whose sins have been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. It's only those that have repented of their sins and acknowledged Christ as the Lord. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you would love to be in heaven. You would love to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. You would love to have the assurance that all is well with your soul forever. In the end of life, it will be bliss and happiness and glory. That's what you long for. that maybe you're finding it difficult to get that assurance. Maybe you're a bit like these disciples in the boat. You see, they knew where they wanted to go, but they couldn't get there. Mark tells us it was evening time. John tells us it was dark. And here were these men in the little boat, and they're setting off on the journey, and they know where they want to go, but they can't get there because it's dark. All around them is dark. There's not a star to guide them. There's no moon to shine a little light on the horizon. Everything is pitch black round about them, and there's nothing to fix their bearings upon them. And there they are, and they're wanting to get to the other side, to the required destination, and they can't because all is darkness. Maybe your life's like that tonight. You would love to know the way to heaven. You would love the assurance that you are set on the road for heaven. But everything around you and everything within you is just darkness. And you don't seem to be able to fix a bearing. And you don't seem to get any assurance. And you don't seem to have any real direction in your life. And your life just seems to be lived in a state of spiritual darkness. What a wonder. Because the Bible tells us that the God of this age has blinded the minds of men and women. Men and women that have never trusted the Lord Jesus, they're in darkness tonight. Spiritual darkness, spiritual blindness has overcome them as a result of the activity of the devil himself. He's the prince of darkness. Praise God, the Lord Jesus came to shine light, to give light to those that are sitting in darkness. Maybe, my friend, over these past weeks and months of your life, you've been conscious that you're in darkness and you're groping and you're stumbling for the proper way and the proper direction. My friend, the Lord Jesus, He's the light of the world. He says, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but have the very light of life. The Lord Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. If you're conscious tonight that your life is being lived in the realm of spiritual darkness, then the Lord Jesus is presenting himself as the light tonight. He's encouraging you to believe in him, to trust in him. And he's asking you to follow him. My friend, he's the light of the world. He's that light that can never be extinguished. Indeed, that's what John tells us in the first chapter of his gospel. He talks about that light that shone in the darkness, and the darkness could never extinguish it. It couldn't put it out. Such was the radiance of the brilliance of the Lord Jesus' glory. The Lord Jesus says, listen, if you want direction for your life, if you want the assurance as to where you're going and the life that's to come, he says, you believe in me, you trust in me, and you follow me, and he's the one that will shine light into your life, and light along your pathway, he's the one that will take you safe right into the realms of eternal glory. Oh, my sentry, are you in darkness? Groping, stumbling, searching. The Lord Jesus is the light. Believe in him tonight. Trust in him. And you'll no longer abide in darkness. He'll deliver you from the power of darkness and translate you into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. They were in darkness. We read as well that the wind was contrary to them. We read, and John would tell us that there was a great wind that was blowing. And one of the other gospel tellers, they were tossed with the waves. And here they were in the darkness, and they know where they want to go. They know where they want to go at the end of the journey. But it's dark, and there's a storm raging. The winds are blowing. The waves are battering the little boat, backwards and forwards, to and fro, up and down. And the whole thing is just a state of distress and agitation and anxiety. That's maybe your life tonight. As you travel through the journey of life, it just seems that every day is just a storm. Every day is marred by agitation,
anxiety, cares, burdens, oppressions, depressions. Maybe constantly your little life has been buffeted by the waves of anxiety, the waves of confusion, the waves of depression, the waves of guilt, the waves of unbelief. Maybe it's a long time since you've had a peaceful night's sleep. Maybe it's a long time since you were able to rise in the morning without a care, without an anxious thought. Maybe it's a long while since you've really felt an inward peace. Maybe you've never felt at peace with yourself. Maybe you've never felt at peace with the world. Maybe you've never felt at peace with God. Everything in your heart is in turmoil. And anxiety and depression. Storms of grief and confusion just abound all around you. And you want your life to be sorted out. You want your life to have direction. You want your life to be marked by peace. You want to have that assurance and that security that all's well for eternity. You want to know that you're heading for heaven. But everything in your life is just confusion. And it's storms raging moment by moment and day by day. My friend, we're going to notice there was a man came into this scene of darkness, this scene of tension, this scene of turmoil. There came a man. And the Bible gives us a title to this man. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Is that what you're looking for tonight? I know it is. You're looking for that inner peace, aren't you? You're looking for that turmoil just to abate. You're looking for those storms of anxiety just to recede. You're looking for that inward peace. You want to be at peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the man that comes into the midst of the storm. And that's what he brings. He brings peace. He wants to bring peace to your troubled heart tonight. He wants to bring rest. He says, come to me. All you that are weary, heavy laden, storm tossed, I will give you rest. Oh, my friend, will you come to him tonight? Hey, will you come to him? It's only a step away. It's only a step of faith. You don't need to wait to the end of the meeting. You don't need to speak to the preacher. You don't even need to speak to the person that brought you. You don't need to speak to anything. You just need to come to the Saviour. He's available. The Prince of Peace. He wants you to come to him now. In the midst of the storms of your life's experience, he wants you to find rest through believing and trusting. You know, as far as these disciples were concerned, it really seemed as if the Saviour was far away. Maybe you feel like that, David. You see, the Lord Jesus was up on the mountaintop, and there were the disciples in the lake, in the midst of the storm, and the darkness, and the turmoil, and it just seemed as if the Saviour was far away, and the Saviour didn't care. Maybe you feel like that. You just feel as if you've been abandoned. And you think, well, everybody else has abandoned me. It looks as if the Lord's abandoned me as well. Look at the state of my life. There was another occasion when the disciples, I don't know whether it was in the same boat, but it was in the same lake. And it was a storm. The Lord Jesus was lying in the hindermost part of the boat. And he's lying sleeping while the storm's raging. And the disciples went and they woke him up and they said, Master, do you not care? Carest thou not that we perish? Master, do you not care? Are you not interested? Imagine accusing the Lord Jesus of being uninterested. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. My friend, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus does care for you. Jesus is interested in you. Jesus is concerned about you. Even in the midst of the turmoil of your life's experience, in the darkness of your life, Jesus loves you. You see, what the disciples didn't realize was although that they were in the darkness in the midst of the storm and the Lord Jesus was in the mountain, his eye was upon them. His eye was upon them. My friend, could I tell you tonight that his eyes are upon you? The Lord Jesus, his eye is upon you tonight. looking at you lovingly and tenderly and appealingly. He knows your circumstances. He knows the depths of your grief and your sorrow and your misery. He knows it all. His eyes upon you. My friend, just at the right moment he'll come to you, because just at the right moment he came to these men. He knows how much you can bear. He knows when you reach the end. He knows when you come to the very bottom. My friend, just at the right time, praise God, the Savior will come. I notice it said concerning these men that they were toiling and they're rowing. You see, these men were really determined to get to the other side. Oh, all the odds were stacked against them. There was the darkness, there was the storm, and there was the oppressions, but they decided to make the best of it. And they get out the oars, and they toiled, and they toiled, and they toiled, and they toiled. And you know, they hardly made any impression. You can think of the sweat. You can think of the energy. You can think of the aching muscles. And despite all the effort and all the energy and all the sweat, they weren't getting anywhere. Is that you tonight? Is that just sum up your little life tonight? It's all sweat, it's all toil, it's all effort, it's all energy, and you're getting round in circles, and all the time you're longing that your life would be sorted out, longing it might have direction and purpose, and longing that you might be set on that straight course for heaven. And all the toil and all the energy is getting you over. You see, my friend, it's not about toiling tonight. It's about trusting. It's about trusting. That's how the disciples got out of the mess. When they trusted in the Saviour. And that's how you'll get out of the mess of your life. And that's how you'll get direction for your life. And that's how you'll get the assurance that you'll be in heaven in the end of life's journey. It's when you stop trying and start trusting. Some people try to be good. Some people try to be religious. Some people try to be godly. I say, listen, there's nothing we can do in our own efforts. We're weak, we're poor, we're helpless, we're finished in ourselves, we've no resources. My friend, we need to come to a point when we realise that. And we stop trying to sort out our life. We stop trying to make amends with God. We stop trying to find the right direction. And we just trust. We just trust in the Lord Jesus. We just trust in Him. Oh my friend, that's what the Lord wants you to do tonight. He just loves to be trusted. That's what a father loves, isn't it? A father loves his child just to trust him. Not to question him. Not to doubt him, but just to trust him. I think that's what the Lord loves. He loves when men and women just trust him. Even when they can't see the way ahead. Even when they can't understand what's happening. Even when they can't appreciate and grasp all the truth that he's presenting. He just wants us to trust. My friend, that's how you come into the blessing of God's salvation. That's how you get the blessing of knowing tonight that you're bound for heaven. Is by trusting. Just simply trusting in the Lord Jesus and his ability to do better for you than you can do for yourself or the world can do for you. My friend, will you not trust in me? In the midst of the darkness of your life, in the midst of all the confusion and all the toiling, oh my friend, just trust the Saviour. Trust the Saviour. Because I noticed the Lord Jesus came to these men. What a moment it was when they saw him. Right in the midst of the storm, when they were right at their wit's end, when they were at their lowest, when they were almost at the point of giving up, when they felt they were going to perish, right at the end, a glimpse of Christ. Oh, my friend, that you would see him tonight, because maybe you're right at the end. Just get a glimpse of Christ, and they cry out. And the Lord Jesus says, be of good cheer. Be of good comfort.
What he really said was this: I am. I am.
Now you maybe don't know the significance of that, but I'll tell you the significance of that.
Away back in the early chapters of the book of Exodus, there was a man called Moses, and one day he was looking after his sheep in the desert, and there was a bush that was burning, and it wasn't being consumed by the flames, and he drew near.
And God spoke to him. He said, take your shoes from off your feet. This is holy ground. Holy ground. And Moses says, who is it that's speaking to me? And the great God of eternity, the God of heaven, says, I am. I am. The ever living one. The one that is. The one that was. The one that is. And the one that ever shall be. I am. The great I am of eternity. The almighty eternal God of heaven. And as the Lord Jesus Christ moved towards those disciples in that storm, he says, I am. I'm the ever living one. I'm the one that was, I'm the one that is, I'm the one that ever will be. I'm the almighty God. And that's the one that presents himself to you tonight. He's the great I am of eternity. Oh, he's Jesus of Nazareth. Praise God for that. Because 2,000 years ago he became flesh and he dwelt amongst men and he went to a cross and he died for our sins. But he's the great I am of eternity. He's God in flesh. And all the power of God is his, and all the love of God and all the grace of God is in him. That's the one that draws near to you tonight. Just where you are in life's experience. It's the great I am of eternity. My friend, he's worth trusting, isn't he? Will God ever let you down? The great I am of eternity. Will he ever disappoint you? I think he wants you to trust him. The great I am. I noticed not only who he was, I noticed where he was. He was walking in the water in the midst of the storm. That really tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ was really sharing in their experience. The Lord Jesus felt the wind on his face. He felt the rain as it drenched his garment. He felt the waves as they were around his feet. He experienced the storm, the raging of the storm, as he draws near to meet them in their need. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus did 2,000 years ago. He came right down to this world to identify himself with men and women in all their desperate need. To suffer what they suffer. To experience what they experience. To go to that cross. And there, my friend, to undergo the awful storm of wrath and judgment from a holy God. To experience intense darkness when the sun refused to shine for 3 hours. And the Lord Jesus experienced that awful buffeting in the darkness. When he could speak about all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. When he could speak about sinking in the deep mire where there's no standing. When he could speak about being afflicted by all God's ways. Oh my friend, the one that draws near to you is the one that has experienced the storm. He's passed through it. He's triumphed over it. He knows where you are tonight. He knows your experience. He knows the depths of your agony. He knows where you've been and where you are. And he's conquered over every circumstance. He's triumphed over the storms of suffering and Calvary. And he's exalted in glory. He's the one that has passed through the storms, that draws near to you in the midst of the storms of your life. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Is that what to your heart? Are you afraid? Afraid of the past? Afraid of the present, afraid of the future, afraid of eternity, afraid of dying. The Lord Jesus comes and he passes through the storm and says, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer, be of good comfort. Allow joy to flood your soul in the midst of the trial. Oh my friend, what a glorious Saviour. The Almighty God drawing near to men in all their need. He draws near to you today. I know there's a wee bit in the verse that says that he would have passed them by. He would have passed them by. And here were the disciples toiling and rowing, petrified. Everything around them is dark and dangerous. And the Lord Jesus draws near the great I Am, bringing peace, bringing joy, bringing comfort, bringing deliverance. And he says he would have passed them by. You see, he was waiting for something. He was waiting for my cry from the heart. That's what he's waiting for tonight, my friend. The Lord Jesus draws near to you just where you are in your seat tonight. Knows all about you. Knows about your sin, knows about your sorrows, knows about your sufferings. Knows about your confusion, knows about your guilt, knows about the conviction of sin in your heart, knows about everything. Knows just where you are tonight. And the one that is the great I Am of Gethsemane. The one that's the Prince of Peace. The one that passed through the storms of divine judgment on our account at Calvary in order to make peace available to us. He comes near. My friend is going to pass by. Because the Lord Jesus Christ never goes where he's not wanted. He never enters where he's not invited. When you go through the life of the Lord Jesus and you'll discover that where he went, he was invited there. Luke chapter 24, after the Lord Jesus had been raised from the dead, he walked with a couple down the road to Emmaus, and it got to the little cottage home, and it says the Lord Jesus would have gone for them. And they compelled them to come in. I wonder, my friend, are you going to ask them? Because I tell you, he'll not come into your life tonight unless you ask them. It's not that he didn't want to come in. I tell you, he wants to come into every life here tonight. He wants to come into every life when you come up. He wants to come into your life. He wants to bring forgiveness. He wants to bring peace. He wants to bring joy. My friend, he'll only come into that life of yours unless you he'll only come in if you ask. I wonder if tonight, my friend, will you just respond? As he stands, as he draws near to you, as he knows all about you and loves you and longs for you, my friend, will you cry out to him? Will you let the Saviour in? Will you just say, Jesus, I'll trust you. You're my only hope. I'll trust you with my soul. I'm guilty, I'm lost, and I'm helpless, but you can make me whole. Will you cry out something? Let the Lord Jesus just come into your life and he'll make a difference. He'll take away the storms, he'll take away the sins, he'll take away the guilt. He'll give you purpose, he'll give you direction, he'll give you the assurance that at the end of life's world journey, that they have to be with himself forever and ever. And ever, how wonderful that the great I Am of eternity would draw near to me. Draw near to poor, storm-tossed sinners in me. Make himself available. He's only a step away. He's only a cry away to me. Would you just let him pass by? My friend, what a day it would have been for the disciples if they just let him go. There'd have been no hope for them. They would have never reached the other side. They would have perished in the depths of Galilee's lake. But they cried out. And they cried, he responded, and he came in. And he brought his peace. Oh, my friend, what an eternity it will be for you if you don't cry in Christ. He can do nothing for you until you ask him. He can't change your life and let you let him, unless you let him in. My friend, if you don't let him in, he'll pass by. And if you die without Christ in your heart and life, then, my friend, you'll miss him. You'll miss eternal life and eternal blessing. And you'll experience eternal judgment. Forever. The choice is yours tonight. The Lord Jesus has passed through the storms of Calvary. He's borne sin's judgment for you and I on the cross. He makes himself available. Will you cry today? Will you invite the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and into your life? Gracious God and Father, we just commit the meeting to thee. We've done all that thou hast asked us to do. We'd love to do more, God, thou knowest that. Thou knowest just what's in this heart of mine. We'd love, our God, to push, we'd love to prod, but we can't do that, Lord. It's by work. And we know that you're able just to bring your own children to the birth. We'd ask, O God, it would please thee just to move in hearts tonight.
break down every barrier. Grant, O God, that every lost soul in the meeting tonight, before this meeting's finished, before they leave the building, we pray that they would cry out to the Lord Jesus in all their need, and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their hearts and life, to be their Saviour, and to give them that assurance that they're right with you, and that they're bound for heaven for eternity. O God, we pray for this, we long for this, and we long for this for the glory and honour of the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, just take time just to sing a verse or two of a hymn. It's hymn number 280. The first verse is, "Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry, while in others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Verse 3 says, "Trusting in only in thy merits, would I seek thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace." So we'll just remain seated and sing these two verses. That's verse 1 and verse 3 of hymn number 280. And after we'll sing these verses, then the meeting is entirely over. We just thank you again for coming. If you do want to speak to us or to speak to any of the other Christians, please do so. Please feel free to do that, because these are important issues. We've announced another meeting for Sunday night. We don't know whether we'll get another Sunday night. Life is very brief. Life is short. The Lord Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be ready, we need to be trusting in Christ, and we need to trust Him tonight. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time." Right now is God's day of salvation. If God has spoken to you tonight, if you're troubled, if you're anxious, if you long to be saved tonight, then don't leave the meeting without Christ, because you might never get another opportunity to get right with God through trusting His Son as Savior. So we'll just remain seated and sing these two verses, 1 and 3 of hymn number 280.